So good afternoon and welcome to this webinar for Cambridge Marketing College. This is the hot topic, and it really is a hot topic right now, performance marketing. Now, those two words for me really should be intrinsically linked because if we're doing marketing that is not performing, should we really be doing the marketing? There's the big question. And that's something that we're going to see as a bit of a thread through this particular topic as we cover a variety of different definitions, ways that you can increase the performance of your marketing, and a lot of the things to look out for, because for a lot of us doing marketing day in, day out, particularly tactical marketing, where we're creating a lot of stuff, if we call it that, there is an opportunity for continuous improvement. And that is something I'm going to be evangelizing as we go through this. I'm very interested to know your thoughts as we go through this because you can use the chat facility to ask me any questions, and I'm happy to do a deeper dive into any of the topics as we go. So please do interrupt and ask them. I'm not going to stop at the end and say, right, Q&A now. So we'll actually cover off any questions as we go. So if there's anything you disagree with, anything that you agree with, or if you've got a better way of doing it, then please do interrupt in the chat. So I'm going to leave the chat open, available to me so that I can see any questions that come through. So feel free to add that as we go through this particular webinar. So let's start with a definition, because what we're looking to do here when we talk about performance marketing, I mean, this really is all about return on investment. When we talk about performance, yes, you can talk about increasing the reach of your communications. Yes, you can talk about engagement. But optimally, really what we're after here, if we're being really, really honest, is making sure that marketing is delivering a return on the investment in itself. So as we spend money, as we spend time, as we devote attention from our organizations and our businesses into this thing we call marketing, we want to see a return. Now, the beautiful thing about being in what we might term the digital age is that everything, absolutely everything, bar nothing, is measurable. So what we're going to look at here in this webinar is that we're going to go into the what we might term the nitty-gritty of performance marketing. So we're going to start to look at things like tracking and optimization. We're going to hopefully maximize the ROI. But if this is something that is kind of new to you, what I would say, and this is something I'd love you to remember after this particular session, is that performance marketing is simply, and it really is just simply, marketing driven by results. So if we're doing marketing where we don't have the evidence for the value we're bringing, stop, review, analyze, evaluate, and do it better next time. If we're doing marketing where we think, we could actually do this a little bit better, then there's an opportunity for continuous improvement. If we're doing stuff that isn't aligned, if we're a commercial organization and we're doing stuff that isn't aligned with the sales initiatives and the campaigns and the stuff the sales team are doing outside of the business, then this isn't performance marketing because we need to align with them. So literally everything that we do needs to play back to being really open and honest with ourselves, be us marketers at a strategic level where we're planning, all the way through to content delivery experts who are specialists in creating and delivering the messages out to the audiences. We need to be performance driven. So I'm going to just keep saying this phrase: performance marketing is simply marketing driven by results. And if you take that as a conclusion here, what we're going to do now is kind of work backwards to see the opportunities and the things that you're doing for improving the performance of your marketing. So we're going to look at where you can find results that you can then analyze, you can get insights from, and you can draw intelligence so that you know that the things you're going to do next time are going to be maybe subtly improved, or maybe it's just an evolution of what you're doing. But ultimately, it is improvement. So that's what we're after. Performance marketing is marketing driven by results. So I'm going to go steadily through a number of different areas where you might be able to identify some of the areas where you can increase the performance of your marketing. So let's kind of begin with the basics. Let's look at the foundations and the basic principles of really what we mean when we say performance marketing. So really what we're looking at here is prioritization. We're looking at efficiencies. We're looking at cost effectiveness. We're looking at measurability. We're looking at accountability. You know, all of the reasons why we would be doing it in the first place, all of the things that we'd say, well, yeah, obviously. And then we just carry on doing what we're doing. So this is being really honest. This is holding the mirror up to ourselves and saying, actually, are we as cost effective as we could be? Could we get tighter? Are we as efficient as we might be? Or are there improvements we could make? Are we actually measuring all the right stuff? Are we taking accountability for the results and delivering those on a consistent basis to the organization? David Ogilvy, the godfather of advertising, said in performance marketing, every penny spent can be tracked to its result, making it the most accountable form of advertising. So it is kind of there and has been at the root of everything that we do. You can track anything that you want to. One of the areas and one of the models, and with each of these little examples, I'm just going to give a little nod to a model or a framework that we'll give you a chance to hopefully integrate this with the work that you're doing currently, if you choose that some of these things are going to be where you're going to focus. I would say it's the AIDA model, really: attention, interest, desire, and action. At every stage of that process, you can increase the performance of your marketing. So at the attention stage, what is it you're actually measuring to get people's attention, and how are you performing there? How are you translating that attention into interest and then forging a desire and building on that engagement for them to take action? At some point in that process, improvements can be made. So if you're measuring and monitoring all that stuff, the attention, interest, desire, and action, you stand a chance of being able to identify where the bottlenecks are, where the improvements could be made to improve your ROI. It's a really nice example from Airbnb, who have used performance marketing strategies like these to focus in on user-generated content and referral programs. And these in themselves have resulted in significant customer growth. So what they're saying is that actually, if you really hone in here on the things that are important, in other words, user-generated content, testimonials, referrals, advocacy, that kind of thing, and then referral programs where you make the most of that attention, and then you measure how that attention translates into actual sales, then that's where you can see your growth. So just, you know, sitting back and thinking, hey, I'm doing a bunch of marketing and yeah, we're growing as a business, aren't we clever? Is not enough. You need to be joining the dots. You need to be finding out where that growth is coming from. And that's what Airbnb have done. So it introduces the idea that some of these channels that we're using possibly are where we can see our performance marketing happening. So channels could be paid for, so pay-per-click, for example, PPC. You might be doing some affiliate marketing. You might be doing some social media advertising, or maybe email channels are still in play with you. And this is interesting because if you're plotting, and the model for this one is to really understand your customer journey map. So plot out for your customer the journey that you're taking them on from those initial touch points, the early channels in their journey, all the way through to them becoming lifelong advocates of yours as an organization, really trusting in your brand. The question is, why? How did you get that level of intimacy in the relationship with them? Why did they buy into you? Why did they purchase the product? What was the journey that they took? Which channels affected that journey? Which channels produced the biggest throughput of people just like them coming through on a consistent journey? If you haven't done customer journey mapping, you probably know if you've listened to my work before that it's, I am a real advocate. It's one of the biggest things that I always get my clients and the learners who I work with focusing in on is the customer journey. Because if you don't know that, how can you identify the channels that are performing and the channels that need improvement? You can't. So it's really important to plot that out. And it's the kind of thing, little case study example here, Amazon's affiliate program. You may well be doing this yourself. You may well be part of the affiliate program. A lot of individuals are on Amazon's affiliate program, buying and selling, trading, if you like. It's a huge growth area. Amazon Associates stands as a really prime example of a successful affiliate marketing program that contributes significantly to their sales. And this is performance marketing. It's focusing in on a growth channel that optimizes the trends that they're seeing in the marketplace. So for you, what trends are you seeing? For you, within your customer's journey, pick one customer type, one persona, and do a deep dive into the journey. Which channels are serving that journey? Which ones are, you know, stimulating the growth, and which ones aren't? Which ones could you restrict or take out of the mix? These are key questions as you look at your channels. And of course, that takes us to segmentation and targeting. You know, you can do targeting demographically. You can do persona targeting if you know this stuff. If you know which channels are working, the kinds of messages that are resonating, the kind of things that people are going to be responding to, then you can begin to do deeper performance marketing in your behavioral segmentation. You can do geographic targeting. You know, the aim of marketing in this way, according to Peter Drucker, is to know and understand the customer so well that the product or service you offer them fits them and sells itself. And wouldn't that be incredible? If you've done this performance marketing thing so effectively, you know the channels, you've stripped out the noise, you've stripped out the content that doesn't work, and you've honed in on really understanding the customer and their needs and serving them with value so well that the product or service sells itself. It's possible. This is happening. You know, a great model to use here is the SDP model, the segmentation, targeting, and positioning model. It'll just be a nice, neat little checklist for you that will allow you to just take a sort of a step back for a moment and just look and see how you serve your customers. Because if you can do then something similar to what Spotify has done, which is use data-driven personalization, so then enabling them to target the advertising, which then enhances the customer experience and the level of engagement. It just makes things clear for you and clear for the customer. So if you can segment, target, and position, and this is really what I'm saying, is that less is more. We should, if we're doing true performance marketing, be doing less stuff, but the stuff we're choosing to do, the stuff that we're focusing and prioritizing in on, is the stuff that really works. And key to this is that we have the evidence to prove it. So it's not all about saying, well, this is just my preferred channel because I enjoy being here. This is my preferred social network because I get a lot of engagement. And then, of course, you could challenge yourself and say, yeah, but how much of that leads to actual outcomes, purchases, true engagement, influencers, advocacy, and repeat sales? How much of that stuff is really performing? Well, this is where performance marketing comes in, because it will give you the kind of impetus, if you like, to be consistently fueling that data pot so you can make those judgments based on evidence, much as Spotify have done too. So metrics in performance marketing are absolutely key. And I want to get you away from, if you are already or still using this term, vanity metrics. And let's face it, we all do it. We've all been, over the last couple of decades, really sucked into vanity metrics. Those metrics that are not performance marketing, and they're not analyzing how we're doing, really. Those metrics like the number of followers. You know that one? Makes you feel good, doesn't it? The number of likes. Oh, the bane of my life. Every time I look at my content, my podcast, my latest post, I know the theory. I know performance marketing. And yet, what do? I look to see how many people have liked or engaged with it. This is not performance marketing. So in performance marketing, we're looking at key metrics. We're looking at what you might term KPIs, key performance indicators. These are the things like click-through rate, conversion rate, cost per acquisition, the things that are actually meaningful from a commercial perspective. Your finance director doesn't care less whether you got 20 likes or 2,000 likes on that post, because what they're looking for is, yeah, but how many of those likes then move the person to the next stage in the journey? And from that next stage, then got some engagement, got a sales visit. And what was the conversion rate of those sales visits? How can we play that back to an improvement next time so we can increase the performance of that journey? That's what your finance director wants. So let's listen to them, because he or she is going to be passionately following your stuff if you can start to measure proper campaign effectiveness. using the customer journey, the channels that you've looked at, the content that you're fueling that journey with, and maybe reinventing the customer journey into what we might call a conversion funnel. That's just the same thing, but it's kind of reinventing it so that at each step in that funnel, in that journey, we know we're going to get dropouts. So we know that not every sales visit is going to lead to a sale. We know that every post isn't going to lead to click-throughs. But if we can be watching like a hawk forensically that conversion funnel and figuring out what is working best, then we can do more of that and less of what doesn't. This is not rocket science. I find myself saying this so often, that phrase, it's not rocket science. But why do so few marketers, including me, yes, I'm putting my hand on my heart and saying, yes, including me, why do so few do this? Why do we still get sucked into the metrics that are just for vanity? Those things that make you think, yeah, well, it was for brand awareness anyway. That stuff doesn't matter. Yes, of course, you have to get some follows and some likes to even be on the radar of your audience, but that's not what counts in performance marketing. We need to go deeper. Great example is Coca-Cola's well-known Share a Coke campaign that used metrics like these, particularly the click-through rate and the conversion rates, to measure and boost the campaign's success. They fine-tuned that campaign at every single step, in every moment, because they were forensically watching the impact of the content that was going out there, the advertising that was being done, and fine-tuned it on a real-time basis. This is performance marketing. It's not something you do at the end of the month. It's something that you live and breathe as you're doing your work. You're constantly challenging yourself with, how could I do that better? How could I find more data on that? How could I be watching the things that really matter? And take yourself away from the ego-fueled kind of vanity-centric stuff that we typically monitor on a day-to-day basis. Forget that stuff. Become a real, true performance marketer. And maybe actually even reinvent yourself. Reinvent your job title within your role and say, I'm not just a marketer, not just a digital marketer, not just a content creator, not just a digital strategist. I'm a performance marketer. Somebody I work with very closely and have done for a number of years, one of my clients, doesn't call himself any longer a marketing manager. He's a growth manager, and he's reinvented this title, and it's rippled across the organization. The whole kind of preface behind that is that it's all about growth. It's all about seeing and constantly improving where growth can come from. And what he's doing is he's doing the next thing on our little list of our checklist is he's using the right tools and platforms to give him the evidence to back up that story. So Google Analytics, of course, you know, Ads Manager, if you're doing Facebook advertising, for example, the likes of Semrush for giving that kind of really detailed, granular level of performance feedback. He's doing that kind of stuff day in, day out. And the impact that is having just not in his base country, but across the world, he works for a big international group, is quite profound. People are now looking to him. People are now asking him, how are you doing this? And of course, he keeps his cards close to his chest, but he will share the process that he's doing. And it's just this reinvention of the word growth, which of course you could substitute for performance if you want to, or any other word that resonates. And this stuff is really happening. You know, some of the most successful and fastest growing organizations, you know, organizations like Netflix, for example, have consistently over the years used things like Google Analytics to track user interactions and preferences. And not just looking at how many people came in through the front door of our website, but what did they do? Where did they go? And of course, if you're a Netflix subscriber, you'll know that often, based on what you do and what you look at and what you watch, this will lead to improved content recommendations and marketing strategies that will serve you with more of actually what you're interested in. So you can actually take the perspective of the customer, go and sit in their shoes and look through their lens for a moment at what you're putting out there as a marketer. And if it's not resonating at the Amazon, at the Netflix kind of level in terms of that intimacy that you have, then there's work to be done. It's exciting times, but I'm really fascinated when I look and hear, key examples of individuals who are doing this stuff and seeing profound changes, not only in their performance and what they're doing for their own brands and businesses, but also how they're perceived by others in and around the organizations. And of course, this opens up a whole range of different options for strategy optimization. You can optimize your campaigns, you can optimize your marketing plan. I mean, what better time at this point in the year to start to really look at yourself and say, okay, I'm going to get serious about this. This whole performance marketing thing, it sounds too good to miss. I'm going to start to do more optimization. So more things like split or A/B testing. I'm going to refine my audiences. I'm going to adjust the creative based on the responses we see. I'm not going to be a lazy, complacent marketer. I'm not going to just create a campaign, roll it out there, and report the results and think, yeah, aren't I clever? I do marketing. I'm actually going to be really self-critical, not in a negative way, but just in a, I know I can do better, consistently and constantly. Tom Fishburne, he has got this well-known quote where he says, the best marketing doesn't feel like marketing. And actually, what we're talking about here when we define performance marketing, you could argue, well, actually, it's data manipulation, isn't it? Isn't this just deep thinking commercially about what the business needs? Isn't this planning and strategizing based around just successful engagement with what we might call stakeholders? And the answer is yes. If you think that marketing is all about content production, you're not even scratching the itch on the scratch of the itch of the surface of the problem. We need to go deeper. So you can be using things like the plan, do, check, act cycle, PDCA cycle, research that and look into that if you want to start to build some prioritization around the kind of plans that you have so you can begin this optimization. Performance marketing comes from optimization all the time, refining and tightening up and prioritizing what it is you do. Dropbox, great example. Dropbox's referral program optimization, which significantly increased signups through A/B testing and then audience targeting. If you are a user of Dropbox, cloud-based file and data storage platform, they will basically have a whole range of different levels of service that will, one of them will align with what your needs are as a marketer. So you can come in at the very base free level, small amount of data storage, few little kind of tools and stuff and services that you can have there, the free, all the way up to the big, fully featured enterprise version. So you can customize it and they will be listening and watching the way you use the service and the way that you introduce others, like them, they have described through their referral program, so that other people just like you are coming in to get a service just like the one that you're using. In practice, not the one that Dropbox makes up and hopes you're going to use, but the one that you actually use in practice. This is campaign optimization. Do not, if you want to be a performance marketer, make too many assumptions. You can make an assumption at the outset. You've got to start somewhere, but then very quickly find, gather, and analyze the evidence that either proves or disproves your assumption. And if it disproves it, make another assumption, fine-tune, test it, optimize it. This is what we're doing as performance marketers, constantly and continuously improving everything that we do. Then we're going to be able to make big, big judgments on things like organic or paid growth, for example. A lot of organizations don't have deep pockets right now. I know that. I can feel that. I feel your pain if you're in that box. So a lot of us are looking for organic growth, but there will be times when you're able to put a little bit of an extra impetus, if you like, around the content production that you're doing by maybe doing a little bit of paid advertising for a specific reason, for a specific activity or a specific campaign. So integrating both organic and paid strategies is a really key way of doing this. You can use something like the IMC approach. This is the Integrated Marketing Communications approach. It's another little model for you to play with. That allows you to visualize maybe some paid targeting, some paid sort of demographic profiling and publishing of paid content alongside your organic strategies. And those might be, your social media, your blogging, your newsletters, maybe your email campaigns. And you would then be able to then balance these two things so that, again, within your performance tracking, you can see which one is working within which particular sort of target customer group or persona group that you're effectively targeting. So you'd be able to see which one's working at one particular time or through a particular channel. GoPro have got a well-publicized balanced use of user-generated content, which is very organic, and paid, which was targeted social media ad spend. And this has enhanced brand engagement and growth at the same time. So not only have they got their customers or potential prospects into the mix to have some engagement through that UGC, the user-generated content, but then they balance that with a call to action through targeted social media advertising. So they've paid to then boost the profiling of that user-generated organic content to people who are interested. So you kind of see the post, and then the next time you look, it's like, oh, all right, now here's the click-through, here's the call to action. Very, very clever, very sophisticated. Research it if you're not aware or you haven't seen that one, because that is a very effective way of kind of blending these two things together. And what it does is it gives a very clear role to your content. Again, if we're doing this and changing things up, really ratcheting up the performance marketing agenda this year, then it gives you a very, very clear profile and role for content in your performance marketing. So rather than just, yeah, I produce content, yeah, do a bit of social media, we hope some of it sticks, but we're not really kind of sure what, but we'll just keep doing what we do happily, you know, sort of jogging along. Oh, isn't it really fun? Well, I'm a marketer. It's not good enough. Simply isn't good enough. And I fall into this category a lot as well. You know, I've got a lot of content that I produce with my webinars and with my podcasts. A lot of the time, I'm not then thinking. And again, I really am looking in the mirror here as I talk to you about this. I'm not always then thinking about, okay, how can I stimulate with this content some more engagement? What is it I can do to be there as part of the conversation? You know, if I'm doing a live broadcast or something like that, how can I stimulate the call to action to get people to click through to, you know, coming on the course or, you know, parting with some cash to get on the program, that kind of thing. Because that in itself will support the search engine optimization. The algorithms love this stuff. You know, it's really, really interesting as you do this. You need to be creating a content marketing matrix, something that balances the different channels with the different kinds of content, both paid and organic, that you're putting out there, so that you can see when something actually hits the ground and really works. When you get more engagement on a particular post, you need to know why. You need to know how then you're going to use that moment in time. And it is a moment in time. You've got to be there to see it and use it. You can't look back in the month's time and think, oh, there was a big spike of activity there. Wonder what happened. Let's go back and see. Oh, they've all gone. That was 3 weeks ago. Oh, okay. They're looking at something else now, because there's a billion pieces of data have gone down through their timeline since. Okay, they're not really coming back, are they? The moment is gone. So the role of content in performance management is to be there in real time with relevant content, attracting and converting the leads that come through. HubSpot, you'll know that I always talk about HubSpot. If you've listened to any of my other webinars, you'll know that there's always a good HubSpot example. I'm not incentivized by them, I hasten to add. But HubSpot inbound marketing strategy is a really, really interesting one. There are articles about this. You can read about them. But they leverage high quality, relevant content. They really do. They publish white papers. They publish guides. They publish, you know, infographics, a whole bunch of stuff. And this is to attract and convert leads. Yes, it's there, really helpful to you, but at some point you will mention HubSpot. At some point you will think of HubSpot, and then they are there on your radar, ready to convert you. So it's not by just pure generosity. It is obviously very generous and they give huge value, but that's only the start of the journey. So it's what are they going to do with that next? That's the key. So by using a content marketing matrix, you can plot your channels against your content type, and then you can see where the balance is and where to prioritize. Super, super important. Remember that word I said right at the start of this? It is about prioritization. That is going to be really, really key for you. So where's this kind of going? Where is this kind of performance marketing thing going? Well, Understandably, and probably not surprisingly, the letters A and I crop up. So AI and machine learning, voice search optimization, influencer marketing, this is where the future of performance marketing is headed right now here in 2024. Gary Vaynerchuk, if you don't follow Gary V, you really must. One of the most influential community building, content heavy influencers within our space in marketing, Gary V, says the future of marketing is a genuine interest in fostering a community. This is where performance marketing is going. It really is. So no matter what you think of AI, no matter what you think of machine learning, generative or non-generative AI, no matter whether you're focused on voice search right now or not, whether you're thinking about maybe getting a micro-influencer marketing plan in place this year, if you are or aren't doing any of these things, the key word here in performance marketing is community. It is all about building a community of like-minded people around you, customers, stakeholders, suppliers, influencers, advocates, followers, colleagues, peers, employees, people within your organization, any stakeholder within your kind of visible horizon are an opportunity to start to build some intimate relationships that will fuel your performance marketing going forward. And then you can use some of these upcoming trends or emerging trends, the things like AI and machine learning, to begin to really supercharge the way that you listen, the way that you interpret, the way that you evaluate, and the way that you then continuously improve everything that you do. There are a lot of great examples. A well-published one currently is Sephora's use of AI and AR technology for virtual product trials. So enhancing customer experience and sales through the use of putting products actually in your hand before you want to use them, but using AI to make sure that the right product is being targeted at you as a personalized individual. So they know it's you coming into the customer journey, and then they're going to serve you with what you want, not a generic single one size all fits all product, but something that's really relevant to you. So again, think about what you're doing. Are you trying to make every customer come in on the same journey to get the same solution? Or are you, and the answer in brackets, by the way, here's the spoiler, yes, you can. Are you able to focus on personalization? This big data thing, this AI machine learning thing, opens up a host of opportunities here. And of course, it comes around to this thing, which I just mentioned very briefly, but I'm going to mention it here because this is an important point here. When you're doing your AI stuff in performance marketing, and if you're already on the journey of continuous improvement, then split testing is going to be your friend. The lovely thing about AI is it allows you to do multivariate testing. So split testing, if you're not aware of it, is testing one version against another thing where only one thing is different. So you might put a social media post out, and then you put out the same post, but you change the image. But you don't change anything else. So it's an identical post apart from the A versus B version. And then you can test the difference. Multivariate testing, which you can do through platforms that do use AI, email platforms like, say, MailChimp, for example, use AI to do multivariate testing where you put version A out, but it has a number of differences between version B, and they are able to use AI in the background, so it's way more than you as a human can do, and they are able then to tell you which elements of that different version of that particular email that you've just sent out made the difference, made the open rate better, made the click-through rate stronger than version A. So this stuff is now possible. We really need to then be listening forensically, listening almost like stalkers to, you know, our customers and really how they're performing and how they're interacting with our products and services. And then build a measure, learn, feedback loop. There is a lean startup, build, measure, learn, feedback loop model that you can research and find, because that will allow you to, you know, continuously test everything that you do so that all of the time, everything is feeding back into this machine of continuous improvement. Because we can say very easily and very kind of, you know, randomly, oh, yes, yeah, we do continuous improvement. But if somebody was to challenge you and say, well, how do you do continuous improvement? Well, we listen to our customers. Well, how do you listen to your customers? Well, once a year, we do a bit of a survey, customer satisfaction survey. That's not really listening to your customers, is it? That's a once a year survey. So what we're able to do here in performance marketing is to say, well, actually, technically and in theory, I could listen to everything that my customer does and says and thinks and responds to and acts and behaves on. So if I take that theory, what would I really like to know? Booking.com, great example of continuous A/B testing, and it is basically built into Booking.com's culture. You know, we've talked here about Netflix serving you up with stuff that is very personalized to you. Amazon, we know, have been doing this for decades. Well, Booking.com, if you don't book things, hotels and holidays and stuff through Booking.com, just get in and have a little look, set up an account and see what you're served with, because they continuously use A/B testing, leading to website optimization and increased conversion rates. They have got some very sophisticated algorithms running behind what you get to see as a customer on the page. And it's a completely different experience if you log in to the one if I log in. You know, we'll see different properties, we'll see different offers, we'll see different incentives and initiatives. This is the level that we need to be working to. It is super exciting, but it requires a commitment. So, how can we begin to do this? And I'm talking now really about this kind of AI, real-time driven personalization in performance marketing. Well, AI algorithms will allow you to do this stuff in real time. You know, you can get really down and deep into the data here. This is all about setting some targets, setting some plans for highly personalized content, product recommendations, increasing the engagement, looking at your conversion rates. And being, you know, really, really, you know, unsatisfied to a point with the way that you've done it before. Again, coming back to the Netflix example, I mean, they use something called predictive analytics framework. There's another model for you, the predictive analytics framework. And they have an AI-driven recommendation system. In real time, they'll be analyzing over 80 million user profiles in real time, and then they'll personalize content suggestions. And this accounts for an estimated 75% of viewer activity. It's incredible. And also, the surprising bit about this is it doesn't only recommend existing content, but also influences the creation of the new content based on predictive models of viewer preferences. So, as you start to watch a particular genre of horror movies, for example, and you know you discount some, but you like a certain other style of movie, that will feed into the algorithm, that will feed into the analysis they're doing, so they can then go and commission shows that they know you are going to enjoy. And then, of course, the algorithm then presents those to you the next time you log in and after they've created them. So the logic is very, very simple. The theory is very simple. The algorithms behind it are obviously off the scale complex. But the theory and the philosophy here is about really listening to real-time personalization feedback. And of course, this can apply if you're doing anything like, say, programmatic advertising, which has for many, many years been, you know, in the realm of those with big advertising budgets. But basically, in the sphere that we're talking here in performance marketing, it gives you the option for doing what we might say real-time bidding. There is an algorithm called the RTB algorithm, which allows you to bid in real time using optimized AI for the space, the real estate for that ad spend to go in the right place at the right time. So, for example, Trade Desk's use of AI in programmatic advertising has helped a leading car brand, which is nameless, but there is a leading car brand, to achieve a 98% accuracy rate in targeting audiences who are ready and likely to purchase a new vehicle in that moment. So, this is incredibly complex stuff. But again, it just follows this principle that if you're there and willing to do this, this is not a once a month reporting activity. Marketers of old, the old school marketer, would have done a monthly report and been really proud with the dashboard and the way they report. Performance marketer is there at their dashboard every moment, and every moment they're breathing and awake and in work, this is what they're doing. And why are they doing it? Because they want to have much more of a predictive view of customer behavior and then use the AI, use the AIs available to predict future customer behaviors based on this historical data, based on this real-time scenario. So as a particular customer group starts to behave and perform in a different way or particular way, so maybe use a certain type of hashtag, for example, then this kind of modeling behavior allows you to integrate your content in with that hashtag in real time. And what is going to happen then? Well, you're then in part of the conversation. Starbucks, another great example of an organization who have used AI to analyze customer data across multiple touch points, both digitally and also in store, to predict purchase behavior and then personalize marketing offers, which will in turn lead to increased customer retention and sales. So, the next little incentive or little promotion that you get as you go into a Starbucks is not by mistake. And the one that you get is going to be different to the one I get because of a whole bunch of different AI system-generated behavior modeling algorithms. So it's a really interesting one. And of course, it not only predicts what and when a customer is likely to purchase, but also personalizes, for example, the mobile app interface for each customer, enhancing their customer experience. This is true personalization. It can be done. It is being done. It's time for you to start up in the game and thinking how you can translate some of these ideas into the world that you're offering up for your customers. And of course, ultimately, it will play out in enhanced ad creative, both paid and organic. So when you're doing your advertising, you're doing your banners, you're doing your content, you're producing your videos, you're doing your imagery, this kind of AI leveraging is really, really important. And it will script potentially in the not too distant future, real time changes to the advertising that is presented to a particular individual. So they will have something that is in the real time created for them on the fly based on what they've done at that point in the customer journey. So it's personalized, it's customized, it maximizes the value that they feel, but it also maximizes the value that you get then in return from the business. There's a lot of case studies, a lot of examples from the IBM Watson archive of case studies and sort of white papers. IBM have had Watson for many, many years as an AI, and it's now got a lot of data and a lot of inputs and stuff. We can learn a lot from that. Again, if you're going to get an account with IBM Watson, then it is a big ticket a commitment. So for most of us, we would be looking at it as a principle and as a set of best practices that we then need to translate into things that we can do on the ground in our businesses to become performance marketers. So if we were to bring all of those things to bear, bring all of those things together and start to try and create like a little mini plan, I've got some action steps for you. So these are going to take five kind of steps, if you like, and this will be what I'll round this particular session off with. So five steps to becoming a performance marketer. So the first one is to implement real-time personalization using AI. Okay, so your steps are collect some data, some user data across various touch points. So your website, your app, your social media, etc. Use AI tools that offer real-time analytics and personalization to dive deeply into those and understand what's going on. So Adobe Experience Platform or Google Analytics, obviously, if it's your website, all of these are now AI powered. So get a real grasp at each of these various touch points as to what's going on. Then you can test and learn. So you can continuously test different content, personalization strategies and tactics, and then learn from the interactions and what happens to refine your approach. So this just gets you started because then you can continuously optimize. So you can use those AI insights to continuously update and personalize the content and ensure, obviously, then it resonates with your individual customer preferences. So what we're meaning here is, of course, select one or two customer personas, or if you're a B2B and you've got a big ticket sales is what you're marketing, then you might want to select one friendly customer and run them through this process and see how it works. Step two then is you can optimize any kind of, if you're doing programmatic ad buying or you're doing any kind of sort of paid for advertising, choosing the right platform driven by AI. So choose a platform that integrates AI for real-time bidding. So things like the Trade Desk or Google DV360. For the rest of us, really what we're looking to do here is set some really clear objectives around the data that we've captured and analyzed with the AI to just give us some insights. If you've got ChatGPT-4, for example, now you can use the little paperclip icon in the search bar or the prompt bar rather than search. Although you can use it for search, you can obviously use that little paperclip and load up your report and say, ChatGPT, please analyze this for me and make some recommendations to increase and optimize my campaign based on the goals, whether they're brand awareness, conversions, or engagement. Be really clear to ChatGPT and say, give me some recommendations of the next steps. And then you'll have an opportunity then to regularly review the campaign performance. And then if you're doing programmatic advertising, adjust your bidding strategies. But again, for the rest of us, start to become tighter and tighter on the performance targeting of our campaigns. We can also then, step three, begin to take that information and use AI to begin to predict our customer behavior going forward. So we can compile historic customer data. So this could be purchase history, this could be browsing behavior, it could be engagement metrics, social media insights. If you've got a customer relationship management system, you can basically plug the data into that as well. If you're working at a high end, so you're a corporate and you've got the features like SAS or IBM Watson to hand, clearly that will be some predictive analysis tools that you can use. For the rest of us, ChatGPT will get you started. So plug that kind of data in there and ask it to model and forecast some potential future behaviors, purchase patterns, and preferences. Ask GPT to, you know, predict maybe the top three things that it reckons from this data is going to happen next month. I've tried this and it's very, very interesting. It gives you a starting point of where to begin to increase your presence as a performance marketer. And of course, then, as we know, with each of these steps, you can use the predictions to tailor your marketing plans, strategies, and tactics from personalization to the timing of the campaigns. But remember, this is not a one-time activity, because once you start this, you're going to be doing this on an ongoing basis. So point four of our five steps is to incorporate the AI in creative ad or content development. So analyzing past campaigns, put into the AI tools that you've chosen the past campaign data to understand what worked and what didn't. So if you can't see what has gone on, you can't see which particular creative worked best in a particular campaign, you know, and you've spent so much time going through the numbers, forensically trying as a human being, give it to ChatGPT or give it to something else, another AI tool that you have, and get it to do the hard yards, get it to do the deep dive and understand what worked and what didn't. You can then use things like Canva in GPT to explore AI creative development. So you can generate version A and version B. So you can do an A-B test and continuously test AI generated creative against maybe your traditional ones and measure the effectiveness. Does Canva in GPT produce a better result than the one that you've traditionally done? Constantly on the lookout for the best version at every time, allowing you then, of course, to refine based on the performance. And this is performance marketing, reiterating what you're doing, refining your creative assets based on both the AI recommendations and also testing outcomes. That's really key. So you can see a bit of a theme here. AI is going to be your friend. It is your glamorous assistant here, helping you with your performance marketing. You've got to kind of do the hard yards to get the information to start to fuel it. But then AI is sat on your shoulder or by your side, helping you to become a performance marketer. You don't have to do all of the number crunching. Let AI do that. You don't have to do the predictive stuff. But what you have to do is control step five, which is the continuous learning and adaptation through these AI insights. So set up a feedback loop, establish a system or a process where all of these AI insights feed directly into your strategy adjustments. Make sure everybody's aware. So train anybody on your team to understand and utilize this AI-driven data and all of these tools effectively. Set up processes, checklists, systems of how to do this, one, for your colleagues, but also two, so you can be consistent in the way that you prompt your AIs to working with you to actually coming to evaluating the information they give to you. And stay informed, of course, on the advances in AI. Regularly update your knowledge and the tools based on the latest AI advancements in marketing in particular. There's a lot of hype, a lot of noise in the whole AI development area. But you need to focus in on the ones that are going to apply to you as a marketer. This is how you evolve as a data and data-driven, evidence-based performance marketer. And then, of course, you can use these insights, these AI-driven insights, to adapt and evolve your marketing strategies to ensure that you and they remain effective and relevant at every step in your journey of sharing this best practice, of evangelizing the value of marketing to the organization. And ultimately, by following these steps, you can effectively leverage AI in your performance marketing strategies, and you will, just by definition, stay ahead in this rapidly evolving digital landscape. So it is a big journey. I've shared with you a lot of stuff over the last 50 minutes or so. There's a lot of things to think about, a lot of steps in the process, but hopefully some of those things you are going to be able to implement and begin to think about today. As I say, today, right here, listening to this and sharing this with you, it's a great time of the year to start to maybe challenge what you've created as a plan for this coming year. And maybe, if you're listening to this on catch up in the middle of the year, it's a great thing to start to maybe think forward and think about future plans and the way that you might want to construct them. These are very exciting times. Performance marketing is taking a huge leap forward. With the advent of AI being there as our servant by our side, we're able to become really high-quality professional performance marketers. And maybe then you might be able to take the new title growth marketer within your organization going forward. The very best of luck with this journey. It is a long journey. It is a journey of continuous improvement. I wish you every success, but remember, it is about every single day, every single way, every single AI opportunity, getting deeper with the data, truly listening to your customers, monitoring what they do in reality, and then the continuous performance of every single thing that you do should be in your heart and mind at every step in your journey. Good luck, and I wish you all the best on this journey ahead.